In the study of life and living things, evolution is the term used to describe the way a type of living thing changes over a long period of time. Evolution is a scientific theory, or an explanation, that is used by scientists to explain why different creatures and plants are the way they are, and act the way that they do. When scientists look at living creatures, they often see that changes have happened to the shape or the behavior of a group of animals. For example, lizards, monkeys, humans, and many other creatures have 5 digits, or fingers and toes, on each limb. But some creatures have 4, some have 3, some have 2, and some have only 1. The creatures that have less than 5 digits often have a sign that they used to have more. It might be 2 extra little toes, too high up to walk on, or it might be a bump on the side of the leg, where the animal's ancestors had another toe. A horse has a single hoof on each foot. A cow has 2. A bird has had its whole arm changed into a wing, and a human has a hand. But if we look at fossils, made when very old dead things get squashed between clay or sand, which hardened into rocks, we can see all these animals were once one type of animal, fishes. The fossils show that animals slowly getting different from each other and dividing into more and more types of animals. They look very different now because they changed in different ways. This is evolution. Scientists can see that changes have happened. They have happened very slowly over a long time. Scientists try to explain why these changes have happened. The idea that many scientists use to explain the changes is the theory of evolution. Section 1. Definitions. Section 1.1. Organism. An organism is a living thing. Organisms are all the different types of living things, including bacteria, plants, eggs, fungi, trees, insects, different kinds of animals, and human beings. Scientists who study evolution are interested in looking at the changes to all sorts of different types of organisms. Section 1.2. Traits. Every living thing, from tiny organisms like bacteria, to plants, animals, and humans, has particular traits. The living thing is constructed, or made, in a certain way. This is its physical structure or body. The physical structure works in a certain way. This is its function, the way its body works. The living thing also acts in a certain way. This is its behavior. The way that a living thing is structured, the way its body works, and the way that it acts are all traits. Some traits are shared by all the members of the group, but other traits are only shared by a small number. For example, it is a physical trait of giraffes to have long necks. All giraffes have this trait. It is a physical function of birds to lay eggs to produce their young. All birds have this trait. It is a part of the behavior of many humans to enjoy and make music. Not all humans have this trait. In the large family, 10 adult children, of the composer Johann Sebastian Bach, 5 of his children also became composers. This was a strong trait in the behavior of the family, but not every one of his children was very musical. Section 1.3. Genetic traits. The traits of a particular person are of 2 types: the ones that they inherit through their parents, and the ones that are caused by outside forces. Their height, the color of their eyes, and ability, or being able to do some things, are hereditary, or inherited through their parents. Some of a person's traits, like their scars and their haircut, are caused by outside forces. All these things are traits of a particular person, but only the hereditary traits are studied when looking at evolution. The hereditary traits are passed on to the person through their genes. Their genes contain the whole bundle of traits that they inherit through their parents. Section 1.4, Generations. Generation is a word that is used in describing how traits are inherited or passed on through a family. A generation is the people, or other living organism, that is on a particular level of the family tree. A person and their brothers and sisters are one generation. They have come from their parents, who are an earlier generation. The parents have come from their grandparents, who are a still earlier generation. The grandparents have come from their great-grandparents. The great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, and children make four generations of a family. The genetic traits of a human family can often be studied for four generations. Photographs of these people, all taken when each of them was the same age, would show that each family member looked a little different. This is a fact of evolution. A family, like all groups of living things, is changing from generation to generation in small ways, and these changes can add up over many generations and lead to very big differences. Section 1E, Evolution. Scientists say that evolution has happened when a trait that is caused by genetics becomes more or less common in a group of organisms. The theory of evolution tries to explain all the patterns found in the entire history of living things. One part of evolution that explains a lot of what we see is due to natural selection. Natural selection says that since children are not exactly like their parents, some of them might have a trait that makes them better able to live where they live. Since they have an advantage, these children are more likely to survive. Children are more like their parents than other unrelated individuals. So the ones with a slight advantage are likely to have children with the same advantage, or might even end up with some children with a bigger advantage. After many generations in the same place, the great-great-great-great, etc., grandchildren, are likely to be really good at living where they live. These changes can happen very fast in the smaller, simpler types of living things. For example, many bacteria, a type of germ, that cause disease can no longer be killed with some of the antibiotic medicines. But these medicines have only been in use for about 80 years and used to work. The bacteria evolved so that they aren't affected by these types of medicine anymore. Section 2. Theory. There are two main ways that evolution works: natural selection and genetic drift. Natural selection explains why living organisms change over time to have the physical structure, the functions, and the behavior that they have. In other words, natural selection explains why the bodies of living things look and work the way they do, and why living things act the way they do when compared to other creatures. It explains why fish are good at swimming and why cheetahs are good at running. It works like this. Step 1. In most living things, parents have more offspring, or children, than the food and shelter that is available to them can support. There will be a struggle to survive. Some of the offspring may not get enough food and may die. There might be other problems, like some offspring getting eaten by other creatures. 2. The parents pass traits to the children through their genes. Not all of the offspring will have the same traits. 3. Some of the different traits will help the offspring survive and have children. They will probably have more children than average. 4. If they have different traits that hurt their chances to survive, they will probably have fewer children or no children. 5. Some of the genetic differences will be passed to their children, in turn. 6. Since parents with the helpful genetic differences have more children, more of the children in the next generation will have the same differences. The parents with the harmful genetic differences may not breed at all, making the harmful genetic differences get lost. 7. After many generations of this, each of the new children will have many helpful genetic differences and fewer none of the harmful ones. The wings of birds are good examples of evolution that is caused by the creature adapting or changing to fit in to its environment. Many birds' wings have evolved so that they can fly in different ways, depending on their needs. Forest birds have different needs to desert birds. Vultures live where there is little food. They have to search for it over long distances. Their wings have evolved for soaring, so that they do not use much energy when flying for long periods of time. Penguins spend a lot of time in the ocean. Over time, their wings evolved into flippers so that the penguins are excellent at swimming, but can no longer fly. Other birds, like ostriches, live on the ground and do not need their wings to fly. These birds can run fast and also defend themselves. The wings got smaller. Ostriches' wings are now used only for display. The bird fluffs its wings out to make its body look bigger. Genetic drift explains how random chance can affect evolution in surprisingly big ways. Some genetic differences don't seem to make a big difference in the success of the organism. For example, someone's eye color is not important for their vision. Blue or brown or green eyes are all equally good. Since eye color doesn't seem to matter, the color that gets passed on to offspring is just a random chance. It is possible that everyone in a small group could end up with only one of the possibilities, like everybody in the same town all having blue eyes. This means that all of the children of everyone in this group will have just one possible eye color. This can work in the same way for other traits. Sometimes, genetic differences can become important because of changes in an organism's environment. For example, a group of animals might usually eat a particular food. That food is no longer available. The group of animals has to eat a different food. But the chance differences that have been caused by genetics may mean that they are not able to eat one possible food, but are more able to eat another. Another group of animals might have ended up with the other possible genetic differences, and so they can eat the food that the first group cannot eat. This can cause two groups that began the same to end up very different. Two groups that start the same can also become very different if they live in different places. Elephants, who lived in very cold parts of the world, were hairy mammoths. Elephants from warmer climates are almost hairless. The wombats of Australia fall into two main groups, common wombats and hairy-nosed wombats. The two types look very similar, apart from the hairiness of their nose. However, they are adapted to different environments. Common wombats live in forested areas and eat mostly green food with lots of moisture. They often feed in the daytime. Hairy-nosed wombats live on hot, dry plains where they eat dry grass with very little water or goodness in it. Their metabolic system is slow, and they sleep most of the day underground. When two groups that started the same become different enough, they become two different species. Part of the theory of evolution is that all living things started off the same, but then split off into different groups over billions of years. Section 3. History. Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Origin of Species in 1859. In this book, Darwin described natural selection and put forward evidence to support his ideas. But Darwin did not understand about genetics and how traits were actually passed on. He could not correctly explain what made children look like their parents. A monk called Gregor Mendel was very interested in breeding plants. He wanted to learn how traits were passed on from one generation to the next. He used peas for his experiments because some of the traits of peas, such as color and shape, are very easy to see. For example, some peas have white flowers and others have red ones. Some peas have green seeds and others have yellow seeds. Mendel used artificial pollination to breed the peas. From 355 artificial pollinations, he got 12,980 plant hybrids that were not exactly the same as either of their parents. Between 1856 and 1863, he raised about 28,000 pea plants. The results of his research are still used today. His theory is known as Mendelian inheritance. But Mendel only told a few people about his ideas, and they didn't believe him, because there was another, older theory about how traits were inherited. Around 1900, Hugo de Vries, Karl Korens, and Erich von Schermack-Sassenaeg came to the same conclusion as Mendel. They explained that things called genes were passed from parent to child. But Mendel only told a few people about his ideas, and they didn't believe him, because there was another, older theory about how traits were inherited. Around 1900, Hugo de Vries, Karl Korens, and Erich von Schermack-Sassenaeg came to the same conclusion as Mendel. They explained that things called genes were passed from parents to child. Genes are bits of information that tell how to make some tiny part of the living thing. With mammals and many other living things, a copy of each gene comes from the mother and another copy from the... With mammals and many other living things, a copy of each gene comes from the father and another copy from the mother. Some living organisms, including many plants and some creatures, only have one parent, so get all of their genes from them. These genes produce the genetic differences that evolution acts on. When the theory of evolution was developed, it was not clear that natural selection and genetics work together. But Ronald Fisher showed that if you have enough genes, you can get enough differences between the living things for natural selection to work. Sewall Wright explained genetic drift in 1931. Meanwhile, J.B.S. Haldane showed that natural selection could work on single genes, and Ernst Mayr used genetic drift to explain speciation. Scientists continue to explore evolution, and big discoveries are still being made. Section 4. Responses to the idea of evolution. Section 4.1. Debates about evolution. The idea that all life evolved has been hotly debated, even before Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species. Even today, some people still talk about the concept of evolution and what it means to them, to their philosophy, and their religion. Sometimes, these people also talk about the social implications of evolution. This debate is mostly about the meaning of evolution, and not how evolution works. In order to fit in the idea of evolution with their religious views, people have come up with ideas like guided evolution, or theistic evolution. They say that evolution is real, but they say that someone is guiding it in certain ways. There are many concepts of theistic evolution. Many creationists believe the creation myth found in their religion goes against the idea of evolution. As Darwin found out early on, the most controversial part of the evolutionary thought is what it means for human origins. In some countries, especially the United States, there is tension between people who accept the idea of evolution and those who do not accept it. This debate is mostly about if the ideas of evolution should be taught in schools, and in which way. Other fields, like cosmology and earth science, also does not match with the original writings of many religious texts. Evolutionary biology is opposed much more from religious believers than other groups or organizations. The Roman Catholic Church has a neutral position about evolution. Pope Pius XII sent his encyclical Humani Generis, published in the 1850s. The Church does not forbid that research and discussions take place with regard to the doctrine of evolution, inasfar as it inquires into the origin of the human body as coming from pre-existent and living matter. Pope John Paul II updated this position in 1996. He said that evolution was more than a hypothesis. I quote, in his encyclical Humani Generis, my predecessor, Pius XII, has already said that there is no conflict between evolution and the doctrine of faith regarding man and his vocation. Today, more than half a century after that encyclical, some new findings lead us towards recognition of evolution as more than a hypothesis. In fact, it is remarkable that this theory has had progressively greater influence on the spirit of researchers, following a series of discoveries in different scholarly disciplines. Section 4.2. Abusing Evolution. People have tried to use evolution to support racism. Evolution itself does not support racism, but people wanting to justify racism claimed that black people were inferior, and thus said that because evolution shows that, in nature, better animals tend to survive, leading to evolution of improved animals, that since they were clearly better, they had the right to oppress the weaker. But they were not actually better, so they were wrong to say this. One way people claimed evolution could promote discrimination and racism was to say that only the better people should have children. The idea to improve the human species in this way is called eugenics. One of the people who had such ideas was Francis Galton. Galton was a very bright scientist and meant to do good. He said that the human gene pool should be improved by selective breeding policy. This Galton's idea got used in very bad ways. His idea was also wrong, because there's so many different skills people could have, so you couldn't tell who was good stock and who was bad stock anyways. Another example of using wrong ideas about evolution to support bad things is social Darwinism. Social Darwinism is a term given to the 19th century Whig Malthusian theory started by Herbert Spencer. Spencer had ideas about survival of the fittest, which he tried to apply to commerce and human societies as a whole. Other people used these ideas to claim that social differences, racism, and imperialism were justified. Today, most scientists and philosophers say that the theory of evolution should not be used to support such ideas. They also say that it is difficult to find data that can support them. Section 4.3. Controversy. Certain people oppose the idea of evolution. They disagree with it for a number of reasons. Most often, these reasons are influenced by or based on their religious beliefs. People who disagree with evolution usually believe in creationism or intelligent design. Despite this, evolution is one of the most successful theories in science. People have found it to be useful for different kinds of research. None of the other proposals explain things, such as fossil records, as well. So for almost all scientists, evolution is not in doubt. Section 5. Current Areas of Research. Coevolution. There are many species that live together in some form of symbiosis. A symbiosis means at least one species profits from this. The problem is that if one of the species evolves, the other, or others, will have to adapt to this evolution. Today, the mechanism how this happens is not fully understood. The mechanism of evolution evolves as well. Until the 1970s, it was believed that DNA was the material that contains the genes. At some point in time, the DNA is decoded and read. This allows to make peptides and later proteins. The reading and decoding of the DNA is called transcription. The problem there is that the same sequence of genes can be run a number of different ways. It can therefore make different proteins. The exact mechanism that says how a sequence should be read is not yet fully understood. Evolution can explain that through many small changes, some individuals of a species are better adapted than others, and have a bigger chance of bearing offspring. There's a field of study called macroevolution that wants to explain how some of these changes above the level of a single species or gene pool can happen. Currently, people cannot explain why evolution above the species level happens at the speed it does. Section 6. What evolution is used for today? A big field where evolution is used is called artificial selection. This is where certain traits are picked in a population of animals. Humans have used this for thousands of years to domesticate plants and animals. More recently, such selection has become a very important part of genetic engineering. Selectable markers, such as antibiotic resistance genes, are used to manipulate DNA in molecular biology. evolution can produce highly optimized processes and networks. This has many applications in computer science. In computer science, evolution is only simulated with evolutionary algorithms and artificial life. The work of Niels Albertelli in these fields started in the 1960s. Alex Fraser continued to work on these ideas. He published a series of papers on the simulation of artificial selection. Artificial evolution became a widely recognized optimization method as a result of the work of Ingo Reckenberg in the 1960s and in 1970s. Reckenberg used evolution strategies to solve complex engineering problems. Genetic algorithms in particular became popular through the writing of John Holland. As academic interest grew, dramatic increases in the power of computers allowed practical applications, including the automatic evolution of computer programs. Evolutionary algorithms are now used to solve multidimensional problems better than software produced by human designers. It can also optimize the design of systems